This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, to Sydney, to Jeremy Zakas, reporting on first what we know of a change of government and the theme for the change of government, and then we'll get to La Nina and the winter coming on weather in New South Wales and throughout Australia. Jeremy, a good day to you. You have likely a new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and I know him from reading your newspapers. He emphasized in his campaign climate change. Is that the major theme that you're hearing from these results?
G'day, John. Yes, climate change was a big driver behind Albanese's election campaign, and we can confirm now that he will be our next prime minister. He has 71 seats, which will confirm him as the prime minister. What we're waiting for now is just whether or not he will be ruling alone or whether he will need some of the independent parties. He needs 76 seats to be the lone ruler. But as you mentioned, John, the great thing is he was very strong on climate change, talking about ways to remove our dependency on coal, talking about things we can do to reduce our carbon footprint, and especially working on ways where Australia can actually turn to much more greener energies in the future to come. Because as we've seen over the many, many months now, the climate is really kicking us here in Australia. It's not only causing the La Nina effect to be worse than it ever would have been previously, it's also causing the Indian Ocean Dipole, as we've spoken about many, many times, to cause much more rainfall. So I think in many cases, the Albanese campaign understood that the Australian public is very aware that climate is such a problem now for Australia. And many people, unfortunately, in Queensland and New South Wales, who have been affected by the floods, are experiencing it firsthand or know people experiencing it. So this is where his campaign, I think, really won the masterstroke. This is how he, I think, won. And this is certainly on the lips of the news cycle right now.
You voted on your Saturday. Did it rain on Saturday?
Ironically, it was forecast for rain on Saturday, but it didn't rain on Saturday here in New South Wales, here in Sydney. It did a little bit in Queensland, but you know what, John? Our weather's so wacky now. We get these forecasts and we don't know what to think. So the great thing was, going to the polling stations, we were completely dry.
The weather predicted, and still does predict, cold and wet. Fine, that sounds like winter conditions coming on. Anything unusual in these rains, Jeremy, in Sydney?
These rains continue to be cooler than normal. In Sydney, we do get a relative amount of humidity, not as much as in the tropics, which I'm speaking mainly Queensland and as you get closer to the equator. But normally, as we head into winter, we get a bit of a humid feel to the rain. But we're talking dry weather here. We're talking dry rain, as far as that sounds like an unusual sort of thing to have. It rains hard, it rains cold, and it rains windy, but we don't get the humidity associated with it. So it's definitely a different feel to the rain, but there's also a lot more of it. That's what's probably the strangest part. There's just so much more when it does come down.
You send me a report that it is possible to look at 100 millimeters of rain over parts of South Queensland in these next days. Queensland's to the north of you, and if I remember correctly, it's been much worse hit by the rain than Sydney. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the reason for that, John, is because it's much closer to the equator. It is in the tropics, whereas Sydney, we're a lot further south. So we're over 500 kilometres or about 300 miles further south. So the weather we get down here is, while tropical, is really the remnants of what they get there in Queensland. But Queensland itself, while it does get a lot of rain in a normal cycle, 100 millimetres of rain at this time of year and constantly is very unusual, which means for us here in Sydney, you know, about 24 hours later, we'll get, well, not 100 millimetres, we get 30 to 40 millimetres of rain on any given day, which is very unusual because we're normally getting only 10, 15 millimetres at most during our rain showers. So this onslaught, which has now been going for about a year, every time we see the predictions for more rain, we're just bracing. I can't remember a time where I constantly have to think, will I be able to drive to work the next day with the rain? Will the trains be running on time because of the rain? This is just absolutely new territory still.
We go to the rainiest place in Australia, or New South Wales, or both. It is a little town, Jeremy is going to help me understand how to get there from here, named Yarras, Y-A-R-R-A-S. It is in New South Wales. Is that correct, Jeremy?
That's correct, John. The little town of Yarras, it only has a population of 65. And now, to get here, if I take you to the map and you look at Sydney there, so on the right-hand side of Australia, basically go very much north of Sydney, about halfway up of the state of New South Wales, which is where we are in Sydney, and you'll find Port Macquarie, which is a harbourside town. Then turn left and head inland, basically an hour's drive inland, and that's where you'll find the town of Yarra. So it is on the Hastings River. It's amongst a large number of hills and mountainous regions, and it seems to catch what is called the lee side of the mountain range. So when the weather systems come in from the west, the rain forms over the top of the ranges there and then hits this poor little town. And now, since the beginning of the year, this town has had 121 days of rain, which means it's only had 14 days of no rain, 14 dry days. And I checked the weather today. Again, it's getting rained on, John. So this poor little town there, which has only 65 people, just doesn't see the sunshine. And this is apparently unusual. This is not normal for that town.
So this is where the weather system coming from the north, from the equator, meets the weather system coming from the west, the Indian Ocean. Is that why it gets so much rain?
It is definitely part of that. That's exactly right. And the Great Dividing Range, which runs up the eastern side of Australia and divides the eastern plateau lands from basically the mountain range to Sydney and various other towns on the coastal regions, it divides it from the plains of the west, which is where the Indian Ocean weather systems are coming. So you get this basically Indian Ocean weather systems coming right across Australia, hitting this mountain range, now hitting La Nina in the east, and that's where it comes together, and that's where it's causing these massive amounts of rain. So poor old Yaris, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to get many dry days at all this year.
Australia has a tradition. The tradition is whenever there is a special day, you eat specially. That's all I can explain what we're about to talk about. Jeremy, what is a democracy sausage?
Yes, John, we associate food with every special event here in Australia, especially our federal elections. Now, the democracy sausage, if you can imagine a barbecue, just a regular old barbecue where you have your beef sausages or pork sausages now, if we're feeling fancy. And what we love to do in Australia, we cook these sausages and we wrap them up just in a normal slice of bread. And we put a little bit of sauce or ketchup in your language on it. And basically that's called our sausage on bread, as we have normally. But what's happened is over the last 10 years, we've actually attached it to all our federal elections, and it's become known as the democracy sausage. Now, a democracy sausage is special for the one reason that we only eat it on federal election days when we go to vote. And the only place you can get them is at the polling stations. Now, in reality, these sausages are exactly the same as any other sausage you cook on any given day. But what makes them special is you can only get them after you've gone to vote. And that's the key. And the theory is, and the belief is, John, no one really knows the true origin, but we think what happened about 10 years ago, one of the independent parties in New South Wales saw a barbecue as a way to bring people out to the polls and vote for them. And hence, the democracy sausage was born and has carried on throughout all of Australia now, to the point where before we go to the polls, we check online to see if our election polling place is going to have democracy sausages. And if not, we sometimes go to another one.
Do you get rewarded for voting with a sausage, or people just arrive hungry? How does it work, Jeremy? Does everybody have to eat a sausage to prove they voted?
This is the thing. You don't have to, but ironically, everyone does. And the thing is, too, most of these are done for charity. So you pay your dollar for the sausage, and basically, as you come out of the voting booth, you just go and buy your sausage. But the interesting thing is everybody gets on board. They even have vegetarian sausages and vegan sausages now. So it's really gone to the entire market. And this thing has become an absolute institution in Australia, to the point where in the last 48 hours of any federal election, when there is no more political advertising allowed to be anywhere in the media, the democracy sausage takes the news cycle. People are looking for the democracy sausages, and people want to know that they can get their democracy sausage when they voted.
All right, democracy sausage is a challenge, but you send me a news page from Nine News, and it has a photograph of what looks to be a heart attack. Good heavens. Bacon and egg rolls. Heaped bacon on top of... What am I looking at, Jeremy? Can anybody eat this? Two sunny side up eggs on top of bacon, on top of a sausage, on top of bread, and they're claiming they can eat this in one swoop. How do you eat such a thing?
Yes, this is when we go gourmet, I tell you, John. This is the gourmet version of the democracy sausage, and you've described it perfectly. It is absolutely a slice of white bread with normally two sausages on the bottom of it, with then two sets of eggs on top. You then put the bacon, and what you may not be able to see in that photo there, John, but there is a lot of onion as well, fried onion underneath it. And yes, honestly, this is the thing about Australia. We try to get our voting done earlier, so we do it in the morning. We wake up ravenous. We go straight to the polling station. If there's a lineup, we might not be finished by 10 o'clock. We're hungry. So therefore, we get a democracy sausage, or in this case, a gourmet democracy sausage, which has the egg, has the bacon, has the onion, and that'll keep us going for the rest of the day. So you can see why we love to vote, John.
I can, but my goodness, that concoction. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, congratulations to what appears to be an overwhelming success for Anthony Albanese. It's raining, however, and immediately the answer for Australia is to get through the winter. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.